to 1 John. If you want, you can go ahead and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 is where we'll be picking up in our study. And I've been so excited. I've heard a couple of comments from people about the book of 1 John here that said how much they're enjoying it. But I also ran into a friend of mine that's at a different church and just speaking with him, and he asked me what book I was in. I tell him, well, I'm preaching through 1 John. He's like, oh man, I love that book. It's a really good book. It's just one of those books that it's not just that it's easy, it's that it has an impact on your life. It really is, because it's a book of test. It's a book of saying, listen, this is what it should look like, or this is why I've written to you. And so they make it pretty easy, right, to be able to written. When you read something like that, then you can just grab a hold of that truth, grab a hold of the Word of God, and pull it right into your chest and say, this has got to be what it is. Its purpose in 1 John has been so much to try to get us to that, to try to keep the understanding that we're having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we're not, it's to move us in that direction. All of 1 John is so gospel-centered because it's to take you to the point of having a sincere and real relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's compelling you, these tests are to say, listen, if it's not there, it's not to say, well, let's boot you on out of here and get out, right? It's to, well, go from that position of not having the right relationship with the Lord to being there. That's what it does all throughout it. And it's the whole reason is because it's wrapped up in the glory of God. The gospel is central to the glory of God. And so He's taking us and seeing how we're related to that glory. Not that it's our glory, but it's His glory. And so who wouldn't love 1 John, right? Who wouldn't enjoy a book that's all about getting me and moving me to that position? Most of my messages so far have been so much related to that. And so in a lot of these messages, most of these, in all honesty, as they come to you, they're written to you, right? They're written to you as a test. And almost in a sense, well, what are you going to do, right? So what portion do you have? What are you now going to do as it's related to 1 John? And it says, do you love the brethren? Or it says to flee from certain things. Or if it says that your joy should be in these areas. What are you going to do, right? Again, maybe that's one reason I also enjoy it is because it's easy to teach. Well, today I want you to know something. The message that we have today is all about what God has done. This is one of those, there's so many times I come to you and I feel like there's this weight on my shoulder. I've told you this as your pastor a few times. I feel like I deliver sometimes a heavy message to you. And that sometimes I lay it out and I think the most prudent thing I can do for you is to take the Word of God and make it like 10 degrees stronger than maybe what it is currently in your mind. To just turn that knob up a little stronger. And not as if to do it by trickery, but just to say, look, it's this strong. It's this true. And if it's this true, it's almost like it goes, and it has this weight on your shoulder. Because I know that whenever you see it from God's perspective, it's that strong. And sometimes I feel like I deliver a message to you. And I feel like, am I trying? In a sense, am I trying to lay a weight on them that's too heavy? Have I put so much on them that they come and then they leave with, that was tough, right? Well, I know one thing. If you're a believer, then that relationship, when the tough things between the Word of God, when you deal with the tough things of the Word of God, a believer can feel that way at times, like, oh, that's tough, but oh, that's good. Oh, I like that, right? I mean, if I don't walk away from the Bible sometimes and feel like I'm changed, is my mind is not drawn closer into the Lord. My intentions are not changed. I mean, it's just not as good. And maybe it's just because it's like that. Maybe it's really in better sense of like that coach mentality of the coach that comes alongside of you and says, hey, you're going to do this. Oh, I didn't like that. But it was to make you stronger, right? And it brought the team together. But it didn't really feel good, right? Teams are not developed around things that are easy, are they not, right? I mean, unless they're doing a different type of sport, but most sports, it's energy. And so sometimes, though, I feel like I'm coming to you and I'm coming with this weight, right? Well, guess what, guys? Today, listen, I have no weight for you. It's not about you. I'm hoping when we close today, you will draw the right conclusion. That you will be moved. That you won't just come today and think, well, that was another good message or something like that. I'm praying that you do take some action followed up from this. But guess what? I'm going to give you very few actions today. Because the Word of God in 1 John 4 is all about what God has done. And it's great. And so I think I just want to just lay that out for you this morning. And then we'll close after that. So again, you're already there. This morning we're going to cover one verse and really half of a verse. This is what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. That's good enough. Let's pray for a second. Father, there's not a single word I could add to this. The understanding that you have, the love that you have bestowed upon us should just be in my soul. If it's not there, then truly this is a test. If it's not there, then obviously, Father, it's a test contained in this. But Father, it is enough to read your word that speaks about the magnificent gift of calling us unto your own, and that you've termed us as your child, and that you've said you've done it out of love. Father, for today, let every single person that hears your word understand and know how much you love them. Grow them in their understanding to what extent this goes to what level, to what seriousness, or to everything of their life. How many places have you revealed this unto them? I thank you for your word that is true in your name. Amen. 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 You just say amen because that's all that's required. The Word of God speaks, and we as believers say amen because we confirm that that's what it says. And on this issue of the Father's love, what today we're looking at is the character. I will say today is about the character of God and His action, right? And so it's who God is and what He is doing, right? There's one thing to talk about the character of God, and this is His character. This is kind of His being, right? This is who God is. But there's also when we see that not only does He have a character, but He has an action that lines up with that, right? And those things are almost always harmonious. But I want you to just ask yourself, and how do you see God for a second? Before we get too far in, this is maybe a little bit of getting your mind, if there's any questioning coming to you, because we're going to turn towards God. But how do you see God in a sense? Because a lot of people, when they stop and they think, well, who is God? In your every day, I'm not just talking about just your Sunday school answer, but between you and God, when it's quiet, when it's loud, or maybe when it's hectic and everything's going on that doesn't seem right, how do you see God? How do you relate to God? Because that's really important for us, is it not? It's not when I come to church and what I've learned about, maybe I can go through all His attributes, which is a very great lesson to take His different attributes. But I'm asking you, in the most important times, when the time counts, how do you see Him? How does He show up in your world? At times He may show up as King. He's a ruler, is He not? He's Lord, right? There's times that you see that He's Lord. There's times that you come and you say that He's sovereign, right? There's different things that go around in your world and you say, well, this has to be from the Lord. Well, this God is obviously, and some people say, I don't know what the reason is, but God must have something, right? That's just the Christian phrase. I don't know what's going on, but obviously He's got some kind of plan because something's happening in my life right now. So obviously something's going on. Some see Him as a judge at times. Well, God's just here to judge me. And maybe through some of those sermons that I give to you, you're thinking, well, I just messed that up again. That's just not what I'm just not doing that. And so God takes this issue of a judge over you and showing you, hey, look, you got some work to do. Right? And sometimes it's we take it a step beyond that into an unhealthy level. And sometimes we even view God in the wrong way. Some of you can see God and is not only putting you in a certain position, but hopefully sometimes you see that not only put you in the position, but it's really good to see that God is also a deliverer, right? He takes you out of the positions, right? He takes you into His green pastures. He leads you, right? Just how do you see God? What is, there's so many different, again, the character of God is so diverse, right? When you talk about your character and my character, there's some things you probably could say about me that hopefully you can share with everybody that you say, this is some of His characteristics, this is who Nathan is, right? This is His character, right? And you can probably even say the ones that are bad. You can just say, yeah, here's some of the bad things about Him. Here's His character. I'm concerned that at times we are missing one of God's greatest character as it is operating in action towards us, that it speaks of His love. That it speaks of His love. That it is a characteristic of who God is. That He is a God of love and He's going to act upon it. And so that's one of the things we're just going to unpack today. We're going to look into those things. And I'll let you know up front is that for some of you it may be difficult for this. Sometimes it's difficult because you just get wrapped up in your own things. Just the own things of your life. And you just and sometimes it is that you just look, instead of looking to the operation of God's love, you almost deal more with, well, who am I in relationship to God? And almost, well, the Scripture says that there's none that seek after God, right? There's none that know His ways, or we all have a bent towards sin and those kind of things. So a lot of us at times, we get so wrapped up in, well, these are my issues. These are my problems. These are things that I'm not doing. Well, I want you to know something up front. It is one of the biggest issues of pride that somebody can have before a God that is operating out of love to them, to take their own situations and cover over God's operation of love in their life. Right? To cover over, to make it so much about the things that either that you are doing or not doing, that you completely cover over the fact that God loves you. And as a believer, we're going to settle it today. I'm not talking much about an unbeliever today, but as a believer, I think Christians struggle sometimes with, because of sin and because, you know, you always say, I've been in so many youth circles where it's like this up and down thing, which I don't even, I get some of that, but I'll be honest with you, in Christ, it's pretty stable. That's what, I mean, if Christ is really our focus, then really it is stable on Him. We may kind of do this, but Christ is pretty stable. But what I want you to just take for a second and understand is that you may be missing out on so many things because you're not settled that God really does love you. That He absolutely loves you all the time in light of every fault that is in you. And if you cover that up, if that does not become predominant in your thoughts, then who is? It's me. Right? If God does not, if His character in His action, think about this, His character, who He is in His action towards you is not predominant, then now you are. And guess what it's going to look like? You know exactly what it looks like. It looks like the jumbled up mess that's all around us. It looks like sin, doesn't it? It looks like just struggle, right? Well, there's sometimes that struggle is there because we're not looking for what God is doing. We passed over it. And so I think when I come to 1 John in this chapter 3, the character and action of love here starts out with this word. It says, behold. In other words, take notice, right? He's like calling this out. Hey, listen, if it's a neon sign, it's behold. He's introducing something to them and saying, consider this, right? And He's not even talking about them, is He? He's not even talking about you. He's talking about God. Behold. He's about to say based on something. Behold, look at something. What are you going to be looking at? What are you beholding, right? Is it going to be, well, my situation and my problems? No, behold. What manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. Stop there. Right? No, let's go to some of my situations, right? No. Stop there. We are not going to deal with those situations today. You deal with those another day. Today is only about beholding. Is sitting in His presence and beholding what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. What does it look like? Well, that's what we're going to discuss. So I want to move a little bit. As it says, this idea of bestowing upon us, this is this idea of I'm putting it upon you, bestowed upon. This is interruption in your life. This is not like, hey, listen, God, I want you to love me, right? Hey, God, will you please love me, right? Or, hey, God, I'll do this. Will you love me if I'll do this, right? Or, hey, God, I mean, just you interject anything from you and then be asking God to do this on your behalf. Or even sometimes it's like this. This bestowing, we're going to look, comes upon you without your consideration whatsoever. Not even considering you in a sense. His action, again, it starts, because this is the great thing about God. When you learn who God is, you understand He is the great and awesome God that we sang about. Great is our Lord. By His mercy, He what? Proves He is love. Right? No, by you messing up, by His character, which is merciful, He proves that He is love. What part have you got with that? Well, I'm the dummy that messed up that needs the mercy, right? Well, it's a bestowing. It's that a good, huge God is coming down and He is pressing that love upon you, right? This is not, in a sense, what I'm trying to get with you today is this. This is not partnership, guys. This is not I do something, He does something. That's not it with God. This word bestowed does not mean that. This word bestowed means I am implanting this upon you. And so where does it begin? Well, we have a lot of places that talk about this. I just want to give you where it begins, because where it begins is also gets you to understand that it's not going away. So many different verses of Scripture deal with this. But go ahead and turn me to Ephesians chapter 2. The reason I want to turn here is because it addresses you. Guess what? What manner of the love of God has bestowed upon us, meaning you personally? This is you personally. Okay? If you fit, if you're a believer, this is you. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Hey, look at that. Character and action. Character. You are a child of wrath. What are you doing? What is your nature? And what is your action? Well, we just read it. We're just a son of disobedience. Conducting ourselves in all kinds of wrong things. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of this great character which is in God, one of the greatest characteristics about Him, because of His great love which He has loved us, there it is. even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Guys, this is one of the most beautiful verses of Scripture for me. I love Ephesians chapter 2. Because on this issue of God bestowing His love upon you, I want you to know I wholeheartedly believe with every bit of my spirit that this is the action of God, that He does come down and place His love upon you without considering what you're going to do, in a sense. Without coming and saying, well, have they prepared themselves? Are they good? Do they deserve my love? Are they getting prepared to the point of accepting me? Are they ready to say a prayer to love me? It doesn't say that. Absolutely not contained in the Scripture that is the consideration as He bestows His love upon us. He says, yet while we are sinners, He loved us. So one of the greatest things about understanding unconditional love is that it is not deserved. As His character operates in your life, it is not out of an operation of being granted based upon a work. It is a bestowing. It is a merciful thing. And as He takes His love and He bestows that upon us, this is how we receive it. Regardless of what you think about how salvation works, I know there's debates on those kind of things, but the action of love, take you out of the equation for a sec, the action of bestowing, this is what I want you to get, the bestowing of love comes one direction. It comes heavenly down. It comes from heaven down. And it comes to a sinner. That's where it comes. Regardless of what you believe, the Word of God, this should be clear to us that while we were sinners, and then it goes on from this though, if He loved us while we were sinners, and He came for this, He also goes on through this whole section, and that and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. What? He has taken you. His love has done this. Listen to me. You have cheapened the love of God if you think it's just to save your soul from going to hell. You have so cheapened it. I just want to accept Jesus Christ and go to heaven. Listen, He says He's taken you and He has raised you up to sit in the heavenly places. He has positionally put you in the heavens. He has positionally put you before Him. He has positionally put you into His family. Not just in a time to come. On this earth, He has put us in this position. Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm going to do this. I messed up here. I'm not allowed in the front door anymore. As a believer, it goes on and says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. His love upon you is to produce good works in your life. So, how does that look whenever I mess up? This doesn't change. The love, what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, take you out of the equation again and understand that the Word of God speaks that His character and His action do not change towards us. It is not conditional on God's behalf, right? His character and His action do not change where He has prepared us for good works. Well, wait a second. I think God is really chastening me. Well, praise God. He's chastening you because He's preparing you for a good work. Praise God that He's chastening you because He says if He's not, then you're not His. Well, okay, He's chastening me. well, that wasn't really fun, but I didn't think I was close. I still didn't believe like God was really loving me. He's kind of just beating me up. No, that's not true. Or I just, for a period of time, and as we were talking about some this morning, is that I just don't quite have the zeal that I had before, right? So I don't know if it's the same passion that it was before. Again, God's plan for you, His love being bestowed upon you, is not changing. It's not changing, guys. And as He goes on to describe this in 1 John, so that's just this reason I want to read to that position, because I want you to, again, so that point was just the bestowing upon you. If it begun that way, I want you to know it's going to be completed that way. So He is not, He said, listen to me, the devil himself cannot snatch you out of His hand. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. This bestowing upon you is not leaving you. Again, I'm almost tempted to go on, well, what about you, right? I just want you to hear that it's bestowing, that it's sustaining, it is staying upon you. That's how much He loves you. Hey, listen, if He loved you while you were a sinner and saved you then, then why do we think anything else will change as a believer? It's not. It's really not. So we're not getting... So that operation of God doesn't change. But the next part I really want you to draw you in, just to kind of get your mind to understand as well, is that He has bestowed upon us, then to just complete the thought that we should be called children of God. What does His, again, what does His character look like in relationship to as He calls us His child? It's one of the greatest illustrations, but it's one of the greatest relationship that He can put us into, right? He puts us in this context of His love upon us in that setting. Not as an adult, but as a child. And I think that's very much on purpose. Because you can study children, you look at children, and understand that child relationship to a father, especially at a young age, has certain qualities about it, right? That relationship has inherent qualities that are just a part of the relationship, aren't they? They just come with it, right? With having a father to a child. It says one thing, it's this position. Child, what does that mean? Well, I only have two children, right? You only have whatever your children... Very, very specific. When they say that those are my kids, right? There's a lot that goes into that, right? Somebody starts talking and say, hey, that's my kid. They're going to be like, uh-oh, wait a second. I probably stepped over a line right there. That's his kid, right? You know there's a certain line there. There's so much about the title of not only the child, but as a father, right? This child-father relationship. So it's a title which honestly goes into this idea of it's this position. That when God talks about His love that He's bestowed upon us, He positionally also places us as a child to Him and as a father relationship. A family relationship is what it is. And in that, and you know that He refers Himself to... How many times has He referred to Himself as Father, right? Our Heavenly Father, our Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, you a child. Because I think one of the reasons, because it communicates affection. Absolute affection for us. He says that He loves us, right? He tells us over and over, He describes His love unto us. How? As a father. As a good father would love His children. There's a care that goes in there. All the things that He talks about, even when He says that He's created us for good works, all the other verses of Scripture that say, listen, my affection has a care for you that not only I've created, I work out all things together for your good, right? That I care for you. When it says, tells us how to pray, He says, even your Heavenly Father knows that if you ask for something good, He doesn't give you something bad, right? Why does He tell us that? Why does He have to... He doesn't have to tell us that, right? If it wasn't His character, He could still be God. Listen to me.
He could still be God and not be in this setting, couldn't he? He could still be Lord. He could still be like the Greek gods that rule over the people, right? That struggle with him, couldn't he? He could still be Lord over your life in an authoritative position. Could he not? Is that not, if we were just studying the authority of God, would we not line himself underneath him as a king? And we would bow before him, right? And say, listen, I'm not almost worthy to be in your presence. I'll bow my head before you. He is, isn't he? And he could be God and just stay there. He's gone further than that. He says, I have affection for you. I love you. I care for you. And I'm going to give you provisions. I'm going to give you everything that's necessary. I'm actually going to care, but I'm actually, out of my care, I'm going to give you every provision for life with me. Everything. He's going to bestow upon you His love. His bestowing His love upon you is also in a sense that it's so good that it handles every circumstance in your life that you're never separated. So in every circumstance, the love of God matches your circumstance with the right things that are necessary for you. Like a good father would. Hey, you going to go get prepared for something? Hey, let me prepare you. Hey, it's difficult. Let me come alongside of you and tell you this is what you need to be doing, right? I'm here for you. Hey, you're going to swim, right? You're going to learn how to swim. A child learning how to swim. Don't worry, I'm right here beside you. We're going to swim. We're going to learn how to swim. Let's get out of here. He's right there. He's there with you. Whatever it is. Hey, look, that hurt. That was a tough circumstance. I got you. I know it was tough. Let me tell you about what tough is. Let me give you clear instruction. God tells us that we're sheep. He loves us as sheep. Right? He tells us all these things. Again, this the vision, the care. Again, we've already mentioned this thing. Another title as a child unto a father is at the correction part, right? He corrects us. We've already made reference to that. God says He will correct us. Well, thankfully, He does. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that He corrects you, right? How do you relate to this? Well, it's love to correct you. What manner? Behold, I love you. Also, this idea of this child, because a child unto a father sees that in the right way that I have corrected you correctly. Now, kids that are listening to me, guess what? Let me just say this really quickly. Kids, all kids, look at me. Correction doesn't seem fun, does it? No. No way. Guess what? I appreciate your... I agree. My dad was tough on me. My dad had... If you think you have rules, honestly, you should come... I'll tell you about some of my dad. My dad had a lot of rules. He really did. He was pretty strict on me. And I always didn't really appreciate it. Most of you, I promise you, when you get older, and I know you just think about this, but let me just tell you about my own dad. Forget where you're at. Just listen to me. My dad was tough on me. And I grew up and I knew. Now I love my dad so much more because his rules were good. I realized how good. I learned so much from the tough rules. He was always there for me. But I'm telling you, he gave me some guidance and he set boundaries for me. It took me a little longer to figure that out. But now as an adult, I'm all over it. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. And I'm like, what do I do? I know what to do. Set clear boundaries for them. Love them. Right? What manner of love has your Father bestowed upon you? When was the last time you were corrected by God? Again, that's the part I started out with saying, oh, that hurt, but that was good. Because it was love. Another spot on this. He's called us. He says that we should be called. Let me just give you. We should be called. Think about this. You should be when you couldn't have been. You were not born into the family. You didn't deserve the family. You did not. This was a family that you were not born into. Because when He calls us children, the other thing He teaches us is that we have been adopted. He uses the term adoption. One of the things that we cling to as saints is that because the reason we got into the family is because we were separated from Christ and He adopted us as His children. Meaning, again, going back to who caused this to happen? Who's doing the work? God choosing the child and saying, "You are mine. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to adopt you." What believer doesn't love that kind of love? What believer doesn't love the fact that a heavenly Father, and I'm not even, I hate to say, not, I don't even need to look around at the world. I don't even look at them and say, "Why me?" Or "I'm glad it came." It's just, I look to Him and say, again, yeah, how can it be? We just sang the song, but it's this idea that you never get outside of thinking, "Oh, I could be stuck in my sin." He adopted me. He grabbed a hold of me. He brought me into the home. And so as you're living right now, He didn't bring you in to kick you back out. What does it mean? How does He look upon you? Well, why does He look upon me when I do something wrong? Well, you're not leaving. You're not getting away from me. I bought you. I paid for you. He actually paid something. It wasn't even, "Hey, this is a freebie. Here's a freebie. Just free. Come on over." No. I sacrificed for you. I sent my Son, Jesus Christ. I gave you the remission of your sins. I paid the penalty. This adoption came with a price. It required something from God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Children, this is all the things that He's given to you. This is all the things. In closing, I want to give you two verses of Scripture. And I want you to see of where the Spirit is inside of you. If this is you as a believer, I want you to know something. I want to, if you could just start to grasp that we just kind of glanced over this. We're just glanced over, right? We just kind of hit some of the high points about the Father's love in your life. We're not going to deal with all the applications of this. You can think about it. I'm just telling you that He loves you. But I want you to get to the next point that I think is necessary to deal with this text. Is that I need you to be absolutely clear on how it gets right here into your soul and how it affects you. And I want you to know that this relationship of love unto the Father is something that's passed down from the love of Christ to His own Father and then comes into us. I want you to see it, that it was there in the Godhead between Christ and His Father. Because He says, because if you could think about that love relationship, that's the example that is between the two of them. And then I want you to see that now it's come. This is the bestowing part. This is icing on the cake for us today. This is the icing on the cake of what it really means to bestow it upon you. It's to this level. This is who God is. This is His character. But this is how He loves Himself. And now guess what? This is in the Spirit. This is where you're at. So just listen to two verses of Scripture. And it's contained in many spots. But go with me if you want to Mark chapter 14. The reason I want to pick this one is because it's a very, very clear time when Jesus Christ was looking to His Father. You almost always want to look to the... Now, and I don't know if... There's so many different times, but in the moment of Jesus Christ knowing He's about to sacrifice for our sins, this is one of the things contained in Scripture where He cries out unto His Father. See, this is how I know that this relationship, it's so heavenly, right? Almost like it doesn't... And I don't want to take
a human nature and put it upon it. But Christ was here in the flesh, right? Christ was here in the flesh as a man. But it's one of those times in which we almost get that God really understands the making of our mind. That we are created not only in the image of God, but He understands it because it's a prayer that Jesus offers up to His Father. And man, is it a personal prayer? Is it a close prayer that's related to His love? It says this, Mark chapter 14, verse 35. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. Let me tell you something. This is not a moment of weakness for Christ. This is not a moment of weakness. This is a moment of alignment. He's going to align Himself with the proper passions of who His Heavenly Father is, the proper will, and He is going to align Himself with it. It is a prayer of recognizing where His source is, and it is an acknowledgement of the power of His Heavenly Father. He fell down on His face to the ground. He prostrated Himself. I mean, the knowledge of what He's about to go through. He put Himself completely sprawled out on the ground before Him. His flesh, if you want to say something is weak, His flesh and understanding these things. Exhaustion in His mind. Because He has a mind, because He was in the flesh. His mind, if you could understand it, His mind, it didn't mean that His mind didn't have a lack of energy or that His mind probably hurt over this. He's in the flesh. And He bows before His God, before the God, and He says, if it were possible. He already knows. If it were possible. Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. You see that? What's the Father relationship look like? Abba, Father, I know all things are possible for You. In a second, we're going to see. When does it come to you? Is it okay for you to be on the ground? To fall before Him? Is it okay? What does it look like? Abba, Father, all things are possible with You. In alignment with this is Your character. You are in control. And then he prays, take this cup away from me. Take it. Take it from me. You know why this is so vital? Because it's a clear indication that we serve a God, again, that relates to us as a real Father. His love is so bestowed upon you that it's going to come at times when you say, take this from me. No, wait a second. You're not allowed to pray that. Christ Himself prayed, take this from me. That's His words. You can be in a position where you say, Father, You are... And again, but don't miss that He is so close to His Father. He knows that's His resource. And He could do anything He wanted. Right? Jesus could destroy them all. Could He not? Why did He give us this section of Scripture? We have got to understand what manner... Behold what manner of love is. Behold how Jesus Christ stood before His Father. Behold this because it's for our benefit, not completely for His. It's for His glory. But if we look into it, this is what love looks like. Take it from me. Father, I know You're there. I know You have the strength. Nevertheless, let me do Your will. Right? Nevertheless. Right? That's it. What would it be like? And I don't want to take this to a different level. Maybe as this presses upon your mind, but What would it be like for a child to come to you and say, "And guys, I'm gonna give all the kids a little tip right here. You want to get something done your way? I'm just telling you, you can take this and use it. Make sure it's from the heart. Don't do it by trickery." Well, your child came to you and said, "Hey, listen, I really don't want to do this. Or can we do something different? But let me tell you something. Mom, Dad, whatever you decide, I'll do it. I'll do it the right attitude." Right? I mean, I'll be blunt. I mean, you know, as a parent, be like, "Whatever you want to do, Eller. Sure, let's go. What do you want to do? Let's go. Come on. I love you. That's awesome," right? "My will? What do you mean my will? You're subjecting yourself to me willingly, right? I'm all in, right?" Try it sometime, kids. Go ahead. See what happens. The will, God's, as Christ stood before Him. Christ standing before His Heavenly Father. "Nevertheless, I'll do Your will. You love me. I know You love me. I'm not questioning Your love. I'm not so sure this is what I want. But I know that You love me, and I will do Your will." Bestow. So, how does this come to you? Last verse, and we're closing with this. Just listen to this. So that's Abba Father, right? This is Christ. You get it? Listen to this. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons," right? Here's the children part. "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." There it is. Took Jesus Christ and His relationship to His Father, took that and how sincere it was, and as He prayed unto His Father, and now He says, "Because you're children," poof, put that right into your heart. That relationship between the Father and the Son has been put into your heart to make the same statement, "Abba, Father." It's the Spirit of the Son is in you. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." So the test is, where does that, the love of God, of Christ to the Father, where does that? In here. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you." Behold it. What does it look like? Do your reading. Read about it. And then, you know what? Embrace it. I'm serious, guys. Embrace it in your mind, in your spirit, your soul, your strength. Through the Word of God, embrace that it is upon you. Unless you're not a believer. And if you're not a believer, then man, you're wasting time with not having the love of God upon your shoulders. You're wasting your life with not having the mercy of God. Because I'm telling you, as a recipient of it, it's the best thing in this world. Almost use the term, it's your best life now, isn't it? Amen. Rightfully said, in this context, it is the best life now. We've got it. Are we shorting ourselves from that? Are you beating yourself up? Or have you grown dull? Why? That's your question. That's the only thing I'm going to ask you. All I want you to do is think about God, okay? Hope you agree. It's been a good day. Let us pray. Father, I come to You and I can just sit before Your presence because this Word speaks true to my life. And because it's been such a good message of Your sustaining love on our lives, I thank You that You declare Your character. I know that we can talk about all the different characters we need to learn. But Father, for today, let Your people feel Your arms through Your Word. Let them think through the lens of your scriptures about all the things that they've read before, about how you love them. Let them behold you. Let them sit in your presence, in contemplation. Even as we started out, that as you've created everything, sustainer of everything. You control the waters, you control everything. So how is it that you also control your love to be bestowed upon us? Let us think about that in closing. In your name. Amen. Amen.